Archbishop Kelly, this Lenten season is a special time for the Archdiocese, isn't it, as it's one of the 12 metropolitan mission cities chosen by the Vatican's Council for New Evangelization. Tell us a bit more about this project.
Yes, I was quite surprised when we were invited, and because we seemed such a small city compared with some of the other really enormous cities across Europe. But it has really been a catalyst to enable all sorts of initiatives to be taken. In planning for ourselves, while obviously focusing on the cathedral, I had to be very conscious. Our cathedral is in the extreme southwest corner of the diocese. And so I felt I couldn't simply focus there because, of course, I'm Archbishop for the whole of the diocese. And so there are various elements. Two which stand out away from the cathedral are these every Friday night. But this is something I've done for the last few Lents. I give lectures about really Holy Week to enable an area to enter more fully into the week. And we've usually found that they'll be attended by 250, even more people from an area. And we're doing that in the very north east corner. The other thing which is very much to do with evangelization, I've chosen the shrine of Blessed Dominic Barbary, who received into full communion Blessed John Henry Newman, as a place where every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, crazy time, but we're going to try to come together for the office of readings, which will be sung, followed by the canticles, the gospel appointed for that vigil office, and then a homily. And I think that's going to be really rather special. I say crazy because one thing we learnt in this diocese, 6:30 a.m. Mass in many places draws so many people, especially young people, as part of a Lenten journey. So having the early morning, we're going to try something which cuts right through what we call top viewing time and see what happens. So that's across the diocese.
So these are liturgies in some of the different churches, as you say, around the Archdiocese. You've chosen as the title, if you like, for this season, Journey and Conversation, haven't you? Can
yes,
you explain
indeed.
Why that choice of theme?
Well, it always seems to me that the Lenten journey, above all, is to enable us to walk the 8 days of Holy Week with our Lord. It is the journey of Palm Sunday. It is the time in the upper room, which then leads to the journey to Gethsemane. It's then the journey to Calvary, but then something about which the present Holy Father so often speaks. It's the journey described in the Apostles' Creed as the descent into hell. The wonder which is Holy Saturday, and I mean Holy Saturday, not the vigil. I mean the hours between the time we end our pondering on Good Friday until we gather for the vigil. And then the ultimate journey, of course, is our Lord, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. But the second element, conversations, I've always been grateful for the words of St. Thomas Aquinas in his great hymn, Pange Lingua, where he describes the whole of our Lord's ministry among us as et in mundo conversatus, having had a conversation in the world. And for me, the word conversation is the best way I find to describe simply what we mean by evangelization. It is all rooted in conversations. Conversations for those who are strong in their fidelity to our Lord to grow with and through each other. Conversations with even complete strangers to find through us the attractiveness who is the Saviour of the world.
These conversations, as you say, will be taking place through the different liturgies in the different areas that you mentioned. Also a series of talks, reflections, musical performances you're having as well, aren't you?
We are. The climax of that, although I said every Saturday evening we're going to have the vigil office, on the Saturday eve of Palm Sunday, something which I didn't know about as a musical piece, apparently it's music by Liszt to accompany the walking of the Stations of the Cross. And I've been invited to prepare the meditations for each station, accompanied by, I gather it includes both piano, the organ and choir. And I think that is going to be very special.
You're also focusing on the Sacrament of Reconciliation, aren't you? I believe you yourself will be hearing confessions in the cathedral.
Well, I am every Saturday, Sunday. First of all, I'll be at the cathedral from 3:30 every Saturday afternoon. We'll have a communal preparation for the sacrament and then a spacious time with several priests available for personal confession, and then ending with the first Vespers evening prayer of the coming Lenten Sunday. I'll also celebrate the 11 o'clock Mass every Sunday in the cathedral and preside at evening prayer in the afternoon, except, of course, on the first Sunday, when we have the marvellous rite of Christian initiation of adults, when those who are going to be welcomed into full communion or indeed baptised at the Easter Vigil are received by the diocesan family.
That's adult baptism, isn't it? The last time we spoke, you talked about a special focus on families and the sacrament of infant baptism as an important part of this project that you're working on.
Indeed, and just last night we had a gathering at our centre which was for four parishes who've had a pilot project introducing the parents of babies who are being presented for baptism to involve them much more strongly. The feedback was wonderfully encouraging. Wherever it had been offered, and it included very varied parishes in terms of the social context, the economic opportunities, the resources available, clearly we seem to have touched a very rich vein indeed. And one of the smallest acts, but one that seems to have really spoken deeply, is the first thing that happens. Each family that comes and says, I'd like my child, my son, my daughter to be prepared for, to be baptised, we present them with a Bible in the name of the diocese. And that seems to have spoken so much.
The goal of this Metropolitan Mission initiative is, as I understand it, to strengthen unity between these different dioceses across Europe. Are you, in that context, working together with any of the other cities on this pilot project?
Well, I had to explain when this arose, and the idea was raised whether we could exchange pulpits. The reality is, and it's simply a physical reality, from now, from Liverpool as it is with changes in airlines, it is a physical impossibility to get, if you like, into the rest of Europe easily on Saturdays and Sundays. So the best we can hope for is that there is going to be a meeting, I think it's in June, maybe May or June, back at the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelisation, when we'll be able to share what has happened and then perhaps in that way contribute to what will happen in future years.
You'll also be reporting back, I'm assuming, and bringing some of these initiatives to the Synod in October, or those who are represented at the Synod in October.
I'm sure they will be, yes, and I can certainly brief the bishops who are coming to the Synod about what has happened. I know one of the dioceses has already expressed great interest to see how this programme for family catechesis develops, and there are signs it is good. It seems to be a very clear priority we must keep with.